time for our daily tech and business report. Today, we're joined by Bloomberg's Brody Ford. In an internal meeting, officials with Ancestry.com say they are not considering a takeover of rival 23andMe due to antitrust concerns that could become an issue. The companies are the top two in genetic testing industry. Brody, shares of 23andMe have fallen 98% since the company went public back in 2021. So what the heck happened?
Yes, a 98% drop is no joke, especially for something, a product that so many of us have experienced, right? I mean, I think a lot of us have received a, you know, Christmas stocking stuffer or holiday gift where you spit in that tube and it tells you, you know, you're 30% Irish or whatever.
Right. Right.
They were a hit gift. But what it turns out is that for a lot of cases, they weren't much more than a hit gift. It was really hard to find other business lines, right? 23andMe wanted to do things like drug development, but that turned out to be capital intensive and didn't quite pay off. And so now they're in this position where, you know, the share price has dropped so low, they're at risk of being delisted. Many of their board members have resigned because the CEO wants to take it private herself. I mean, this is, you know, the word flailing certainly applies here.
So that's why they wanted to, I guess, wanted to be acquired by Ancestry?
So to be totally clear, there was no indication that this was in the works. But oftentimes, you know, when the one of the largest companies is having trouble, oftentimes a competitor will scoop it up. I mean, that's kind of how historically it has worked. You think about, you know, Intel is having trouble and Qualcomm, there was reporting that Qualcomm was thinking about, hey, should we put in a bid? This is a thing that you expect to happen in these situations. And it's notable that Ancestry would say, you know, in the current antitrust regime, likely this wouldn't be possible. And they also said that, you know, they're not certain they would want to, but, you know, from what we heard in our reporting, it seemed the antitrust concerns were a little more prominent.
Well, so with the privacy concerns, if somebody bought 23andMe, who gets all that DNA?
And that is a fantastic question, right? I mean, there is over, I don't know the exact number, but it's millions of people's of genetic data. And right, let's say an insurance company bought that or a drug maker. I mean, it's not hard to imagine use cases where you thought you were just going to figure out maybe who your long lost grandpa was, but now someone is building a profile on you based on your genetics. I mean, this is a bit of a dystopian scenario I don't think many of us were signing up for.
Well, and then this notion that, like, you know, some long, quote unquote, long lost relative can say, hey, I tracked you down through, you know, whatever, 23andMe or whatever, whoever bought them, and I need, you know, $100.
Yeah, no, I mean, I have used one of these services, and I've definitely had long lost cousins reach out to me, and it's been a positive thing, but yeah, it's not hard to see how it could cross a line into something that's not so pleasant. I think there's a lot of questions about, you know, when we give our data to large companies, at some point there is investor pressure to continue making profit, and you know, how are they going to mine that data to do so? I think in 23andMe's case, they thought that custom drug development would be their kind of ticket to the next phase of growth. And, you know, with their market cap right now at about 100 million, very low for a tech company, it seems that did not work.
Okay. Meanwhile, how's Ancestry doing?
Ancestry seems to be doing pretty well from as far as we can tell, right? They are largely privately owned, majority owned by private equity. And so they don't have to report regular earnings in the same way. But, you know, they have over 1,000 employees, offices in many cities across the world. And I think their real moat, for those of you who have used Ancestry, is they have that subscriber service where you can go through, you know, family trees and, you know, go through. It's much more of a kind of social network that they have built out, which lends itself to recurring revenue, which, you know, investors like that. They don't like it when you buy a $100 kit and then forget about it. They want you to keep paying that subscription fee for a predictable business.
Yeah, that makes sense. Brody, thanks so much for the reporting. That is Bloomberg's Brody Ford. You can hear our tech and business reports weekdays right here at KCBS at 12:30. And for more, tune in to Bloomberg Technology Weekdays. That comes at you at 8 a.m.